So here in a minute, I want to turn to the story of Hannah. I don't know if that's commonly turned to, but before that, I want to do an overview of what is joy, actually. What is biblical joy? So the first thing is, joy is a fruit of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5:22 tells us that, but the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on. So if you have pure joy, it is a declaration of the fact that you are one of the elect, right? But a lot of people today mistake joy for happiness, and those two are not synonymous exactly. Happiness is limited only to an emotional state, right? So you can have happiness only on an emotional level, but it has nothing to do with the Spirit. And I would argue also that you can have joy regardless of your emotional state. So say you're going through the grief of losing a loved one or some sorrowful time, I think you can still have joy that kind of supersedes that in your life. Or obviously, most of the time, joy will bring happiness, but it doesn't necessarily have to correspond. So let's go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I think the story of Hannah is one of the clearest pictures of joy in the Bible. So I'm just going to kind of, chapter 1 is sort of the background of the story, so I'll just kind of go through it, not read it word for word, but just kind of detail it for you guys. And then we'll, chapter 2 is really the goal we're getting to. So basically the situation we have here is Elkanah is a righteous man. He has two wives. One of them is Peninnah, and the other is Hannah. Peninnah has a bunch of children, and Hannah is barren. She has no children. And so it kind of adds a conflict for Hannah because Peninnah often provokes her, the scriptures say, because she has no children. So Hannah just feels inferior to Peninnah in that way. So here in verse 7 or so, Elkanah, it says, goes every year to do a sacrifice. And to Peninnah and her children, he gives a portion, but to Hannah, he gives a worthy portion. So Hannah is kind of his beloved wife, the one he favors in a sense. But she, like I said earlier, is barren. So here we have a situation where Peninnah is provoking Hannah because she has no children, basically saying, I'm the better wife because you have no children. So Hannah is just bitter, sad, and when they go up to this yearly sacrifice, Hannah is just completely downcast because she just feels so worthless, so inferior in the situation. So she actually makes a very specific prayer. She goes to the temple alone, and she's just weeping bitterly and makes a very specific prayer to the Lord. And she says, basically, Father God, if you will give me a son, I will give him back to you to serve in your temple for the rest of his life, to sacrifice him for your service for the rest of his life. Which is kind of a hard situation because then she would have a son but not really get to see him all the time. And Eli, who's the current priest of this day, actually sees her weeping and comes over and hears her petition to God and says, all right, I bless you. I hope God grants this petition. And so you see down in 1 Samuel 1:20 that Hannah does have a child and names him Samuel, which means God hears. So God answers her prayer. And, of course, she's super thankful, super joyous at this huge blessing of God to answer the prayer that she thought was impossible previously. And if we have one yearly sacrifice, 9 months later she has the child, Samuel. Then 3 months later is the next yearly sacrifice. But she says, no, give me a little bit longer till I finish weaning him, till the child grows up a little bit longer. So we can assume probably it's been like 6 or 7 months is about Samuel's age. And she is just, she says, okay, now is the time. I'm going to take him to the temple. As I promised God, I'm going to fulfill that promise. And she follows through with it. She goes to the temple, and she drops off Samuel with Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And actually, if you follow through in chapter 2, it says that Hophni and Phinehas are commonly known in that culture as the sons of Belial, or just, they were wicked men. And this was pretty commonly known. So here she is with her newborn son. She's had him for 6 months, and now she has to drop him off with Eli, the priest, and his two wicked sons. So not the greatest situation. But at the very beginning of chapter 2, you can see the prayer she prays, and this is one of the clearest pictures of joy in the entire Bible, I would say. So we'll read that first verse, chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. So in my life, oftentimes, I feel like I'm okay at praying for things. I see my need in life, and I'm okay at praying, like if I have a big decision coming up. I can pray, God, please guide me, or I can say, please bless me in this way. And so many times in my life, those prayers have been answered in a miraculous way, and I'm just dumbstruck by the goodness of God in that moment, and within a day or two, that joy is just gone instantly. I just forget it, move on with life like nothing even happened. Where in reality, I should hang on to that joy and be constantly aware each and every day that God is good and he just blessed me in a miraculous way I never thought would happen. But here we have an example where she, 6 to 7 months later, is still rejoicing in the Lord for this unbelievable miracle that he's given her. And so many times, too, in this situation, she had to sacrifice something back to the Lord. This huge blessing, she had to give it back, in a sense. God just answers our prayers often freely, for no return. So it's just a huge picture of joy in this situation, I think a great model for us to follow. But in general, joy, of all the fruits of the Spirit, I think joy sort of, actually, me and Austin and Brother Michael Warren, I don't know if you guys know him, but we had a discussion one night, and we kind of came to the conclusion that joy, of all the fruits of the Spirit, is almost like a spiritual battery, to the sense where if you have joy, the other fruits of the Spirit just kind of pour out of you easily. If you're joyful, it's so much easier to love others, it's so much easier to be patient, or to have mercy on others, or to be long-suffering, and so on and so on. So that kind of begs the question, well, how do we charge our battery with joy? How do we keep it charged? Because in so many times in life, our battery does get fully depleted. We kind of hit rock bottom and we're just like, okay, God, I've got nothing left. You've got to fill me back up. And that happens. But I think in general, we could be better at making sure our battery does stay charged on a daily basis, waking up each morning and making sure that we're filling ourselves with joy. So in that case, how do you fill a normal battery? You got to plug it in, right? So I would say to charge our joyful batteries, we just plug into Jesus. Each and every day we wake up, we say a prayer, and we just realize that God is so good. And in this case, too, if you finish that verse, it says, because I rejoice in my salvation. Now, this was around the time of, this was two generations before David was anointed as king. So this was long before Jesus even came to earth. So she's speaking only of a temporal salvation. She's just saying, thank you, Lord, for blessing me in this, answering my prayer, and thank you for just saving me on a daily basis. We see the bigger picture now. So we can see that Jesus has saved us eternally, and that should give us even greater joy, right? So she can hold on to this joy for 6 months, but we have an even greater joy that we can have access to each and every day. So let's turn to Psalm 51 in closing. Psalm 51. So this psalm was written by David, basically as his repentance to the Lord and confession to the Lord after his sinning with Bathsheba. That's the background of this psalm. And the three verses I really want to look at is verses 10 through 12. All right. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. So the rest of this psalm is really particular to David's case, and it's just kind of him pouring his heart out to the Lord. But those three verses in particular, I think that's something we should wake up every morning and pray. I think we should just hold on to that with everything we have, and I think that's what will really keep our battery, joyful battery, charged up on a daily basis. If we just say, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation every single day, because do we not have everything to be joyful in, right? An eternity with God and his blessings here on earth that are given to us. So that's basically all I have, but thank you so much for your time. Let's see.